going.
I'd like to welcome everybody here today. Appreciate everybody taking the time out of their busy schedule to attend these meetings. Good. Let's take a few minutes and look at the minutes from last week's, or last month's meeting.
Excuse me? Could you talk a little louder?
I'm sorry. If we can, let's take a few minutes and look at the minutes.
And motion to adopt them.
Second.
Gordon made a motion to adopt the minutes. We have a second?
Second.
Katie seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Excuse me. I don't believe we have anything that goes into the executive session, do we? Kathy, licensing report, July through September.
Okay, maybe at the licensing report, you've all got a copy of it. It's basically the licenses for the individuals that are new or
you might want to shut this door, it's getting quick.
Or have been reinstated. The information you can actually find too on our website if you went in on to see if a person has an active license, so you can actually do that too. It's always a good idea just to make sure that the people that are associated with your agency have still got an active license. Any questions on that?
Summary of enforcement reports. Kathy, you're up again.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the audits. I see that, our audit update, I'm in the process of doing two right now. They should be completed soon. Once those are done, I will send out for two more agencies to be audited. I give 2 weeks' notice so that they do have time to get records. And if there is a problem and they need a little extra time, I'll work with them on that. So we are still at the beginning of doing the audits.
Not anything specific, but just in general, how are they going?
You know, in general, they're going pretty good. The feedback, you know, if I have a question, the feedback's immediate. You know, the documentation, it's things that I pointed out before, you know, making sure the forms, you know, making sure that the trust information is correct. And again, we go back to the audit a few years ago that Jamie did, and everybody's so much more cognizant of what should go on with the trust accounts, and that helps in future audits. So, you know, the fact that you guys are on board and doing what you should be doing, or at least from what I've seen, helps me out an awful lot.
What percentage of those audits are you doing on-site versus up here at the department?
Probably a little bit more have been at the department. The information is coming through all the department. It somewhat depends. So some of them I do go right out on-site, and some of them, you know, I have come in here.
Do you determine that, or do you let the company being audited determine that?
I try to determine it, but I do work with the company. One of the things that is a big part of it is I need to go ahead and be able to have access to pull different bonds, and so that's more into what I need to do. So that's more of the physical right there. So that's part of it up front.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess we also have just the 3 month report that goes through on the how many complaints, audits, investigations, and e cases. The e case that is really open and has been for a substantial length of time is still the one that we are still working on. So that one hasn't been resolved. Generally, last question that we had basically on the forfeitures is, it does say in the code that it's within 5 days they have to be paid. Weekends do come into consideration on that. There's been a couple where I've had to work with the prosecutor on some other information, so that's why you can see a little bit of time on some of them.
Kathy, is that in reference to unpaid forfeitures?
Yes, it is.
Do we need to tweak the wording there? If it just says 5 days, do we need to do anything that...
It says 5 working days.
Working days, okay. So yeah. I was going to say if weekends, when you brought up weekends, but I was going to say
I brought up weekends
five
because...
business days or working
yeah,
days.
Yeah, no. I do it based on that, but when you're actually doing on Circon, it'll pull in all the days. So that's why it looks that way on the report. It says 12 days, but you know, you have 4 days that were weekend.
Does anybody have any questions on that? Got the agency audit update and proposed penalties. Is there anything there that we need to put in?
Not at this present time. I did want to bring up, you all have basically the synopsis, and one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, I'm doing that on a year basis. Do you want more than that, or just the current year that we're in? Because it becomes redundant, you know.
Yeah. Does anybody else go with you? Craig, do you feel we need any more than this?
No.
Gary?
Just a question. Under the investigative matters, there's one that's extraordinarily prolonged. I was turned over to the AG's office for follow-up. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question to the board is that it was turned over to the AG's office, that would indicate to me that there is some criminal misconduct, and why that couldn't be dealt with internally within the Department of Insurance under unprofessional conduct and some administrative thing at the department level in lieu of waiting the years for our AG to finish his campaign and start to his job.
I have talked to Kathy on that, and I'll let her follow up, but I think basically they felt that until it was adjudicated, it would be hard to maybe even prove unprofessional conduct until it was determined whether or not they were found guilty. And I believe there was also some question on whether the investigation would overlap them and interfere. Is that right, Kathy?
A lot of that, yes. Basically what they did is they turned it back over to us. So the fraud unit determined that we should be handling it, and we are in the process of that right now.
And so they declined any criminal?
As far as I know, yeah. They turned it back over to us so that we could continue with the aspects that needed to be done.
And that is being worked on now?
Yes, it is.
I think we're with... Probably within 30 days or so.
Yes, we are.
Thank you, Gary. New business, a new application, Aladdin Bell Bonds. I'll take a minute to do this.
You guys have got a copy of the application. I apologize for how it came out, but basically what I wanted to talk about is I went to producer licensing, and I checked with them on a couple of the aspects. One was the name of the agency, if there was a problem with that, with producer licensing. They indicated there was not. The other issue that I looked at was the designated producer to Aladdin. They have just barely got their resident producer license, so they met all the qualifications that they needed to become a resident and get their license here. That also goes through BCI. So they go ahead and actually vet and see all of that information. On June 26, 2014, Aladdin registered with the Department of Commerce, so they did take care of that. number was obtained for Aladdin on 6/4/2014. They have a letter of credit with U.S. Bank, with their offices here, for $300,000. So they're going to be letter of credit as opposed to collateral or surety backed. Let's see. The designated agent manager, Todd Hunter, and I'm going to make a mess of his last name, Hans? Okay, got close. Was granted his resident limited wine license on 10/6. He worked for Aladdin Bail Bonds in California since June 26th of 2006 until August the 10th of 2014. So the payroll records that were provided by his employer indicate that he's worked over 18,000 hours in the bail industry. The forms would go to property and cash issue after the agency is licensed, when it becomes licensed. The accounts regarding the trust, collateral, and premium, they are with a federally insured bank and they have the branch office here, so they're local.
I believe Gordon had a concern here.
I'll let Gary address it.
Okay. My question is that Todd, to me, is a producer or an employee. I don't see where he would qualify as the principal unless he could establish that he has got ownership in the Aladdin Bail Bonds. That all of the papers filed with the Department of Commerce indicate that Aladdin is domiciled in the state of California. On your most recent updated website, it even indicates the San Diego phone number for Aladdin Bail Bonds of Utah. Code states a bail bond surety must be domiciled in Utah. And I don't know that it, how they qualify as a domicile when all of their mail and all of their physical presence is in California. And all they've got is an employee, not a principal in the state of Utah. And I further to that, the principals, which I don't consider Todd a principal because he's not an owner or even a part owner, that the owners have not produced their 2,000 hours. Now the principals, as I see it, happen to be something called the Trident Management and Aladdin Bail Bonds Utah LLC of Carlsbad, California. And I don't believe that they've submitted any hours to support those two principals. Have got 2,000 hours as a licensed bail agent. Come on, sir.
So maybe we can take those one at a time. So the first one was whether Todd qualifies for the 2,000 hour rule. Is that
no? The principals.
The principals, whether they're owners.
Qualifies as a principal.
Okay, so.
And I might have some more information on.
So the question is what specifically? Whether
I believe that
if there is a domicile principal in the state of Utah.
Okay, resident. Or
well, Todd, I believe has established his residency in Utah. I'll grant that, but he is not a principal of Aladdin Bail Bonds. He is an employee. He's a manager. He's not a principal slash owner of Aladdin Bail Bonds.
I believe that is right. It didn't be determined. The code says the principal had to have owner would have to have 2,000 hours, and the principal would have to be domiciled.
At least one principal of Bail Bonds insurance will have a minimum of 2,000 hours of experience.
Yes.
So the question is whether or not Todd is an owner.
Exactly. applicant.
Your principal.
He's not listed as an owner.
Would you like me to respond?
Yes.
I'll introduce myself. Rand Gaither, and I'm representing Aladdin Belmont Utah LLC, and they are domiciled in the state of Utah. It's an LLC, so we've provided information that they are domiciled there. The owner is a California LLC, and that's been disclosed. And on the form that's attached, there was, due to, I think, California being a little bit an hour late, we received word, and Mr. Ponce came up and signed that application. And then I went back, reviewed it, talked with the attorney, and so there's actually another application that we did provide to Kathy, and she has it on file, where David A. Schaefer, who's the chief financial officer of the principal LLC, has gone ahead and signed that. And so he signed on behalf of the LLC that's the owner. So there was a little bit of a, since one of the delays was that Mr. Ponce, he had to be a resident producer, licensed producer, so they had someone there that they could file with their electronic application. So that happened very late in the game, and then there, Kathy called, said they needed to have a signed application. There was one that they actually completed, the one that's on file from the chief financial officer, and that was filed, so that had been filed there. So that indicates the situation there. And as he is a principal in the sense that he has been designated as chief operating officer of the manager of the business entity. They have a West Valley office, and he is going to be the person who's going to be signing and executing the bail bonds. And he had given me some requirements, so I would submit that is what is needed, is to, as a, he does not have to be just an owner, it has to be a principal. And I think that one of the problems you have in this area, in looking at the forms that I've received and kind of helping the person preparing the application, is they don't really take into account LLCs and managers and things such as that. They use a lot of the old terms for corporations, and principals, and officers. But he is clearly been designated, and it's logical also in the way that Utah law says you can't have a foreign LLC. It has to be a resident LLC, and then they have a person who's an actual resident who's here on the ground, who's running the company, signing the bail bonds, has the 2,000 hours. So I believe all of the requirements are met.
Brett, what is the definition of principal in that?
You know, the definition of principal doesn't help us. So the definition is an individual or corporation whose performance is guaranteed by a bond. I think when we're talking about principal, we're talking about an owner or a director or somebody that's responsible for the activities of the bail bond agency.
And as far as the 2,000 hours, doesn't it say that an owner has to have, or a partial owner has to have the experience of 2,000 hours?
It says at least one principal of the bail bond surety or agency will have a minimum of 2,000 hours. So as long as they have one person with that, meeting that experiential requirement, they've met the statutory obligation here.
Is there a definition of principal?
Again, the definition is that it's an individual or corporation whose performance is guaranteed by bond. So isn't that more the person who's being bonded out, their performance being, they'll show up to court?
See, I was going to say, in all our discussions, when we legislated and everything we talked about,
I think
we've
addressed this in the proposed legislation that we've
all been. One thing I'd like to see is if there is another application.
Yes, I do have
it
right here.
I think we need to see the application that we're actually trying to approve.
Well, I apologize. I should have made copies of this one, too.
I think, to put it unartfully, I think what we want to see is that Todd has skin in the game. Whether he has either an ownership interest or some other interest that we know that he's going to be responsible in the conduct of the business as the person who is designated meeting the 2,000 hours of experience requirement.
Yeah, if I could answer that real quickly from our perspective, is that he signs a bail bond. I mean, the bonds are, he obligates the U.S. Bank under that letter of credit. He's the only person that will be able to sign the bail bonds. And so it's his responsibility because he's the producer. So he's in charge of that, and the fact that he is signing it is, I would say, analogous to where you have a real property person. They sign it. So when he signs it, he obligates the letter of credit and is the person who is responsible for the bail bonds, and that's logically the person you want to have the 2,000 hours training. I don't know if you'd want a board of directors in California or some manager from an LLC. So he's on the ground, he's running this operation, he's signing the bail bonds, he's had to go through. They couldn't apply for a company license until they had the resident licensed producer who he is.
So I guess...
Is the letter of credit listed in his name or whose name?
I can look it up, but
while we're waiting for that, Gary, yeah.
Well, I take exception to this because everyone in this room knows that letter of credit is not issued to Todd. That letter of credit is issued to Aladdin Bell Bonds, Trident Management, or any of the other Robert Hayes or Robert Matter or Mr. Schaffer or so forth, who are all Texas and Utah or Texas and California residents. Todd is an employee. Any agent that works for me, any licensed bail agent under the definition of a bail agent for BI, signs my bonds and obligates me. But it isn't my agent that is the obligor. He is just simply an agent signing on my behalf. And this is the I think we need a very defined definition of what is a principle, because I don't think we've got it here with Todd.
Well, may I ask a question, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can you review again Todd's involvement in the LLC? It's the LLC that's seeking a license, right? That's the person of the entity. And that is Todd a principal of the LLC, an owner?
He's, I would say he's not an owner. I would characterize him as a principal in that he is the been designated by the owner to be the general manager and to be the person to obligate the LLC on bail bonds. And he's the one who has the authority to do that. And so I would indicate that as he has the delegated authority from the LLC, from the management of the LLC, and has the ability to, is a principal for the purpose of executing the bail bonds.
Well, the reason why I asked the question on the letter of credit is because the letter of credit is in my name, and so that's why I wanted the clarification. If he's listed on the letter of credit, then that makes him financially obligated.
So it seems like it's the LLC and the ownership of the LLC
that we're in question,
and where Todd
is not an owner,
where that connection is, where that nexus, where that skin in the game is. Kathy, do we have other persons that are formed as LLCs?
I
realize
so.
I'm catching.
Yeah.
And are those, when we've licensed those entities?
I know a couple of them, and they were all required to be
an owner of the LLC.
I'm an LLC, you know. I'm owner-manager.
Statewide, there's a few of them.
So it sounds like there's not an issue with Todd personally, or with Todd's background, or with Todd's experience, or with Todd's residency. It's whether Todd can act as the principal for the LLC based on what appears to be a lack of ownership or skin in the game, to use another word. Is that, do you think, an accurate statement? That's what it feels like to me.
It kind of comes back to the same reason we can't pledge property for our property bonds that's out of state. Because you guys don't really have any ties to it. That's where, because I've asked before, why can't I use my property in Wyoming? And you said because it's out of state and we can't really go after it. So, I mean, is that the same? I'm just trying to understand.
I think it's slightly different. They got their letter of credit that qualifies.
But if they're not domiciled in Utah as an owner, you really don't have any way to go after them.
Well, the corporation is a Utah corporation.
Yeah, the LLC is domiciled here. That's correct. And the members, some of the members consist of the California LLC. And the letter of credit, and I haven't been able to pull it up real quick. I think Kathy might have it there. Probably is issued to the LLC here, and then the bail bonds that are going to be issued are going to be issued by the LLC through their manager, and he's the one that logically needs to have the training and is running the business, is in charge of the Utah operations. He's in charge of the LLC. He's the managing officer. We can supplement that if you need to have any type of documentation. We'd be happy to do that.
Did you have the letter of credit, Kathy?
I do. There is a concern a little with the letter of credit. It's actually drawn out of California to the address there. I'm looking at it right at the present time.
Okay, so that.
Yes, I mean, they actually changed from, I know they did change from a bank that didn't have an office in Utah to U.S. Bank because they do have a local presence.
Right.
And the applicant it has the wrong address.
Yes.
That'll have to be correct.
Gary?
Well, in their own presentation, on their own applications, they've listed directors, officers, owners, partners, and Todd's name doesn't appear on any of those. And in the papers filed with the Department of Commerce, again, lists all California entities. And unless the board at the Department of Insurance can establish that Todd is a principal, I think this thing is destined for my later review.
Yeah, Kathy, do you have anything to bring out?
I'm agreeing that there's some more.
I think we ought to, yes.
Yeah. Can I just offer a simple question? Randy, can they just make Todd an owner?
What's that?
Why won't they just make Todd an owner?
I'm dealing with the corporation and the
Latin. I think Todd's an owner, we got a good point.
What I would suggest is one of the issues concerned further, you know, we want to, they're all ready to go. They've got a storefront, and if there is a delay, since you've gone to quarterly meetings, I think we could, I'd ask that we could consider it electronically, so we could do a supplement. Consider it electronically in a week, 10 days.
We're going to telephonically.
I would say recommend that you go back to the drawing board, clean up all these issues, submit it to Kathy, and when she is satisfied, when Suzette and Kathy are satisfied, then they can bring it to us, and I think we could probably do something with it.
Okay.
But I think there's more than one, there's numerous issues here that.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the loop, but I'm in the loop in the sense that I'm the one that gets to put out the fire, so this is another one that I'll start working on. And then we'll ask for an electronic application, and we'll ask that the genie do that out of the bottle right away.
Gary?
Okay, I forgot Al Steen here, but I did have two questions, and these are more for Kathy, but I noticed on their application they did indicate that there had been some criminal history and that there have been some administrative hearings, and I assume that those have been investigated and
yes, they have. Satisfied. Producer licensing does investigate that part of it when we're doing the initial application. Okay. So I did go ahead and check with them to ensure that they had taken care of that part, and
and that it had met their requirements.
Kathy, did you review it as well?
Yes, I did.
I would make a motion to set aside this application and wait for it to be resubmitted and look at it in a future time.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
And could there be a motion that it could be handled electronically?
Telephonically.
Yes.
I think as soon as Kathy gets it and approves it, she
makes it. All right, thank you very much.
Legislation, Brad and Brett. I will start out by saying I just talked to Brett a minute ago, and we had intended to get with Brett and move forward on some of this legislation. As I mentioned, as an association, we've had some differences of opinion. We've been working towards that. Now I believe we are in unison, and we would like to get together and work with Brett as soon as possible to move this forward. He did mention that next Wednesday it is going to go before the Labor Committee. The Business and Labor Committee. So we would probably need to do this sooner than later.
In terms of the bill, it is, first of all, the Insurance Department has not seen a protected copy or a public copy of the bill. We also have not received a request for fiscal night, which we usually get for any bill that even feels like it might touch insurance. And so I'm not sure exactly where the drafting phase is. However, I do know that it is on the agenda for the Business and Labor Interim Committee to consider next Wednesday. The committee meeting begins at 2:30. This particular item is scheduled for 4:40. You know, they can take stuff out of order. They generally start late. It looks like a really fascinating afternoon. Got state fire code amendments, liquefied petroleum gas amendments, construction amendments, all in front of the bail bond amendments. I would characterize the meetings that the department has had with the association as very long, but very productive. And I feel like I agree personally, on a personal level with you, Brad, that I think we've gotten to a place that we can all live with. As I recall, when we last met, there were three items that the association was going to continue to work on.
We're clarifying it.
Yeah, and I understand from you that that you've been able to do that. So we're happy to meet with you. However, I think it would be most productive if we have a bill or something.
I was just going to say, it seems very odd that they've even scheduled to go before that committee before even a protected copy has come out.
Well, I know our bill, which is at this point 150 pages, I'm working on a protected draft of that now, and I know that they intend to mail that out. That's our bill, the Insurance Department's bill, tomorrow. And so that may be what they're planning with this bill as well, is to make it public or send it out tomorrow.
Okay. Could you maybe just get a hold of me as soon as you get that copy? I think it's kind of senseless to get together without a copy to work with.
And so we're really, honestly probably looking at Tuesday. Monday is a state holiday.
Only you.
Yeah, I like to bring that up to my friends that don't work for a bank or a government. So Tuesday is probably our best option. So working with Jolene, I'll try and set some time up on Tuesday or perhaps Wednesday morning before the committee meeting at 2:30.
Let's do it Tuesday. Give us just that little bumper if we need it.
Okay.
You'll get a hold of me as soon as you find out, and I can get in touch with Wayne, Gary, and Craig.
I'll send, it looks like it's being introduced by Representative Oda, so I'll also send him a text message after this meeting. That's how he seems to like to communicate, and ask him for his status or what information he can share. We'll share that with you when I get it.
Is there anything else that needs to be brought out? We just set a record on the fastest meeting in history.
That was last week.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks, Brad.
If anybody would like to stay, I'm doing a small ethics presentation, but, you know, voluntary.
How long is it, Kathy?
It can be as short as this meeting, up to an hour, just depending on if you do comes up.
I think Gary wants to stay.
He's just trying to get a better seat.
Yeah.
Well, these are old.
So Lieutenant Booth, do you live in Summit County?
Pardon me?
Do you live in Summit County?
No, I live down in Wasatch County in the River Valley.
Okay, I think I've actually asked you that.
Yeah, I would love to live in Summit County. Exactly.
Too expensive.
Just a skosh. But east side isn't as expensive as the west side, you know, you have as cold as there is, but they're pretty broken.
You don't want to have that one.
Yeah, my little brother lives up there. I hate it. This is...
Oh.
I gotta go say hi to the board.
Nice weather you guys have been having last week.
It's great, we loved it.
I was trying to play golf up there this weekend, but it looks like it's gonna turn on Saturday afternoon.
Thanks for the help.
Yeah, yeah, I wish it was a little clearer. I think what we've got in the proposed bill, butterflies, stuff like that. But yeah, I think we all want the same thing, and that is somebody that's responsible, that has skin in the game.
Well, that was the intent of it. It's, I know that most of us worked on that to begin with, and that's pretty happy.
Good. Yes. That's okay. We got it. I mean, it worked.
Oh, yeah.
The reason you didn't see it is it's all been so quick right at the end.
No, I like this one. She doesn't show me. I told her. But she realizes if she has more questions, now that I've got
to. Yeah, I hope she would to use that resource.
Yeah.